Surely if we were to select something that we would like to talk about for all of us to meditate upon this morning as we gather together in a time like this, surely it would be the love of God. Would you let for the next several minutes an old preacher who's been with God for many years, had his ups and downs through thick and thin, talk to you about the love of God today? Brother Paul has already selected some beautiful hymns to get our minds prepared for this. To those of you who are gathered here today, if I were to ask you, what is God's love like to you? I'm sure that there would be several different answers and different ways and expressions as to how you would answer that question. But over the last couple of weeks, when I've been thinking about how or what I would like to say today and on the love of God and what it would be like, I thought, surely the love of God is like a diamond. You ever take a diamond and look at it and look at it up close? It has many facets. You look at one and it's crystal white and you say, isn't that sparkling and isn't that beautiful? But twist it just a little bit and it's blue. And it's just as sparkling. You say, well, the other could not surpass this, but it seems to a bit. And then you turn it a little bit more and there's all the colors of the rainbow. I don't think there's anything that I can think of that would be like the love of God more than that, to try to express to you what God's love is like. The many facets of God's love, which simply means the many aspects or the many components of it. And I believe not only we feel the way that I have just said, suggested, but in my own heart I believe that of all the sermons that can be preached to our Almighty God, that there would be none that He would appreciate more than telling people, this is how much I love you. And that's what we're going to try to do about it this morning. It's beautiful to meditate upon. The reason it's so important is because John says God is love. We sing about it and we celebrate it each Lord's Day. And we celebrate it in remembrance, the gift of God's love upon this table. So we ask the question, what is God's love like to you? It's to me like a diamond. And the Bible is God's love letter. And the pages are simply full of all of the different facets or components of how He's trying to say, dearly beloved, I love you like this. And that's what I want us to meditate upon you. As we look at the diamond of God's love, we look at the first facet and He says, this is how much I love you. I love you like a creator loves his creature. I love you like an omniscient artist loves his masterpiece. But sadly, after God finished His wonderful work and said it was good every day, and the last day when He created man, He said it's very good, and He rested, that Satan entered into the picture and wooed man away from God's love. And God has spent the rest of the time until this very moment right now when we've gathered around the Lord's table to say, don't you believe Him. He is a false suitor. He's lying to you. There is no one that loves you like I love you. I love you because I created you. You are my creation. And of all of the top of the list, you're it. But you turned the diamond just a little bit more and there's another facet. And as you gaze at it, it's a splendorous view, how sparkling it is. God says, through Jesus Christ our Lord, I love you like a groom loves his bride. We're not talking about false love of the flesh. We're talking about the true, deep, emotional love that a groom can have for his bride. When John the Baptist appeared upon the scene, God sent him to herald the coming of Jesus. One day he saw him coming to the Jordan River where he was baptizing. In John 3:29, he says, "Behold the groom." The groom is coming for his bride. And God says, "I love you like that." So the Bible is God's love letter. And Jesus came in Matthew 9 and verse 15 and began his teaching. He says, "I am the bridegroom." Then he pictures then his coming and his return in the kingdom of heaven like a wedding feast, where there were five wise and five foolish virgins. Now look around. Hopefully we're all the wise virgins in here. We wouldn't be here. But the whole compartment of the kingdom of heaven and the view we're talking about now is made up of wise and foolish people. The wise virgin who kept their lamps all trimmed and bright, and the foolish who didn't bring enough oil and let it go out while they were waiting on the bridegroom to come. And that's surely what we're doing here this morning, waiting and waiting. And for some of us, it's not going to be as long as it has been. And of course, none of us really know when that's going to be. But he says, "I love you, dearly beloved, like a groom loves his bride." And think about it. He's talking about us. And then you turn the diamond just a little bit more, and there's a flash. Hold it up to the light, how beautiful it is. What is this passage? "I love you like this," the Lord says. "I love you like a father loves his family and like he loves his children." Now he knows that we can identify that here upon this earth. And there's no love like a father for his children, or a mother for that, as far as that's concerned. So he says, "Let me tell you about it." You understand that, don't you? Let me put it to you this way then. It's like a daddy and his child, a father and his children. And think about that if you want to know how much I love you. He says in 1 Peter, "I have begotten you with a living hope." That means you're my child. I begot you. And he begot us through the word of truth, he says, that we might have a living hope with the Father that has stored up for us. In what way is it a begettal and a living hope? He says, "Because you are born of my Spirit," in John 3 and verse 5. That's how much I love you. When you were born, I imparted my very Spirit into your heart. So that, as we were talking about in our Bible class this morning, your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Do I love you, my children? I'll tell you how much I love you. If anybody would turn you away from me and cause you to stumble, it would be better for a millstone to be placed around his neck and cast into the depth of the sea than hurt one of my little children. That's how much I love you. And that's what God is saying to you and to me. It seems like there's an old song, "That's how much I love you." If you were an apple hanging on a tree, every time you pass me by, I'd let you take a bite of me. You remember that song? Well, it was out there, and I remember it very well. But there's been lots of hymns and lots of songs that trying to express love. And God says, "I love you then like a father loves his child." But there's another facet of rare beauty. It glistens as we view it. He says, "I love you like a beloved father who loves his beloved son, who has sold himself into slavery, gone away from home. He's got himself into a terrible predicament. He sold all of his inheritance. He's now working with the pigs, or with a man who has the pigs. He's reduced himself to zero. But my love is still there. Because I am that father, Luke 15, I am that father that's standing there constantly since the very moment he went away from home, looking for him to return. Now, if any of you have a son or a daughter that's wandered astray, that is not living like you would like for them to live in the gospel of Christ, God says, you know what I mean. And that's why he pictured this, one of the great parables of the prodigal son in Luke 15. He says, I love you like this, like a father that's waiting and waiting and waiting for your return if you've wandered astray. The reason for that is, how much is the debt? Well, it's so deep he cannot pay it himself. The wages of sin is eternal death, and you could never pay yourself out of that. You could not pay that redemption debt with a filthy life. But God says, I love you so much, don't worry about it. I have paid the price for you, and I will redeem you. That's why Luke says in Acts 20 and 28 that he has purchased the church with his blood. Oh, how he loves the church. He has purchased you and me with his son's blood upon that awful, awful cross that we 2,000 years away from the crucifixion cannot imagine how terrible a death that was. It was so terrible that God had to evidently turn his back from the scene and make Jesus cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me in this moment? We ought to remember that. Because there may be times when it comes into your life and you say, where is God? Why has God forsaken me? And just remember, in that black hour, because it did become dark, that God had not really forsaken Jesus Christ. It was just in that awesome moment of fleshly pain that got to him for just a moment. Let us remember, if that comes to us, that he's still there. And he's saying to us inwardly, inside, from the throne of the Holy Spirit in the temple of our heart, I love you, and don't you ever forget that. Well, there's another facet of God's love, and it's a many-splendored thing. We see then a mansion over the hilltop that he's preparing for this bride so that he can receive his bride, the church, and they can dwell together forever and forever in that eternal abiding love. Paul said in Romans 8, our spirit joins with his spirit that we're one. God's love is reciprocated with our love, and we're one loving person as God loves his creation, as God loves a son or daughter, as God loves and waits for a returning son to return home, as God loves his family, his children. So God is waiting for us. And it's a many, many splendid things. Here I will protect my loved ones from all the woes before me. And we will live together forever and forever as a cherishing father loves his family and as a cherishing groom loves his bride. Now, final point I want us to consider. If you've ever experienced love on your part and it has not been requited, unrequited, it's not reciprocated, but you dearly love, maybe it's in a marriage, and you dearly love your mate, and your spouse walks out on you. I love somebody else. God tells us that there's no other greater love than His love, but you and I know that the greater the love a person has, the greater the pain when it's unrequited. I have counseled many back through the years about their marriage and the problems in the marriage. One woman said, you know, when my husband came in half drunk one night and told me that he hadn't been faithful, she said, I was so dizzy, I staggered. I staggered up against the refrigerator, and that's the only thing that held me up, because she was hurt so badly. It works just as well for the male as it does the female. There is nothing on God's earth as painful and as terrible and that hurts so bad as unrequited love. Can God get the message over to us any better? Or as you read the Bible, and I said, it's a God's love letter, it's one page after another. I love you this much. I love you this much. Well, if you can't understand it that way, let me tell you this way. And if that's not good enough, let me tell you this way over here. So do I love you? Let us summarize like this. When a single one of you strays, I am the good shepherd that leaves all of the sheep in the fold and goes after you. And I devote my attention, if you're away, to you. On the other hand, I'm like a widow woman that needs her money so badly. And she loses it out of her purse. And she turns everything over in the house, looks in every nook and cranny. I think I've had some experience like that, looking for something. He says, that's the way I look for you. Like a widow woman that would lose her money and couldn't find it, and she just turns the house upside down, looking for it. And I love you like a heart-aching father who waits and waits for the prodigal. And two, as we come close to the end of our lesson, in Luke 13:34 is another facet. I love you like Jesus weeping over Jerusalem when he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you together like a hen would gather her brood, and ye would not. Oh, your house is so divided. So we ask the question, how do you love God? What is it like to you? Well, the Bible says, when we view this, he gives us a picture of Matthew 13, like a connoisseur of pearls, a merchant man of pearls, that's going about looking for a beautiful pearl. He's collected pearls all of his life. And on his journey one day, he comes on a pearl of great price. And he sells all that he has for that one pearl. He says, that's the kingdom of heaven that I offer you. We asked the question this morning. Do you love God in a reciprocating way like that merchant man loved that pearl of great price? Does this pearl sparkle to you like no other jewel in the world? Are you God's child this morning? Can you say truly, my Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom, of course it's here now, but the Bible says come, thy will be done on earth it is in heaven. Can you pray that wonderful prayer? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you cleansed for the wedding that's coming? And are you one of the five wise? Or are you one of the five foolish virgins that Jesus talked about? We pray as we offer the invitation this morning that you are the wise, but if you are the foolish, There's still time to fill your lamps with oil. Get them all trimmed and bright. For the Lord is coming. He's coming at any moment. But even as our life is as a life of a fire, it's as a vapor that vanishes away. So it's not very long, regardless of you, what age you are. The only thing that counts is knowing God's love for you and that you will reciprocate that love by saying, Father, I want to become thy child. Or if you are his child and you've erred, he's standing there like in the prodigal son, waiting for you to return. If you need to come to him, you've got to believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you do believe, turn from your sins. Tell God you're sorry and you're going to turn. Luke 13:3. And then be willing to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, with your mouth from the heart. Matthew 10:31. And then surrender yourself to be buried in baptism, to rise to walk in newness of life. And you're going to leave this place a Christian this morning if you're not. And the love of God is going to mean more to you than you ever dreamed about. On the other hand, are you in the pig pen? Are you wallowing with the pigs? Are you hungry and thirsty because you've gone back to the world? Would you not come back? God loves you. Are you ashamed of how you've treated him? Can you say, Lord, I do love you and I'm returning? He will take you back. We will pray for you and with you as together we stand and sing.